friends. Welcome to today's podcast with Steve.
Hi, guys.
It's been a hot minute since you've been here.
It's been crazy.
It's fortnightly, so this is what? Been a month?
Yeah.
Probably since you've spoken about anything. Have you been on videos since then?
I don't think so. I mean, I've been busy with my own stuff.
Work.
Which has kind of taken me away from kind of a lot of being involved here. But I mean, I went to the workshops with you.
Yes, that's probably where I think you've been.
Yeah.
I knew you surfaced somewhere.
Still at the workshop.
Yes. He's still handing out washi to everyone. Did you enjoy that?
I did. I thought it was such a cool experience.
Yeah.
I thought it was really great. And it's one thing to like... I don't know how this is going to come across, so please forgive me. But I mean, I think, you know, when you're doing kind of having an online, you know, just experience, an online business, if you will. Mm. And, you know, you see that there's a following and you know that you're kind of affecting, like you're inspiring people and you're affecting change in people or in whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like you're encouraging people to create and, you know, we sit here and we do
you're
this.
You're engaging.
Yes, we're engaging. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, you see the comments and you know that they come from real people and you know that people's lives are excited for you and for us and, you know, the business and everything, which I think is really great. But then when you go to workshop and you kind of, you put faces to names, the impact is like, just kind of blows you away a little bit.
Yeah. I think what you're trying to hint at is something that I think I have discussed already. If I haven't, forgive me for thinking I have. It's possibly in a voiceover I might have deleted at one point, but I feel like sometimes it doesn't really seem real. Like, the people... I know that the people are real. I know the stories are real. I know that the comments are real.
Definitely.
But sometimes, because it's behind a computer screen, and because I know that there's thousands of miles of distance between a lot of us...
Well, it's like the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people approach the internet, and specifically social media, with a sense of distance now. Because you don't really want to think that a lot of what you're seeing is real. You don't want to think that some of the comments you're reading are from real people. You don't want to think that some of the news stories you're seeing are real stories.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I think we're so inundated with it. I know, I don't want to say that we're desensitized to it. I think we protect ourselves by going in thinking, oh, I'm safe from this because I am a bit disconnected from it.
Definitely. I think disconnected is a big word.
Yeah. That's probably sounds like it's whole own topic, but we weren't here to speak about that today.
No, but I did really appreciate the workshops because...
it became super real.
Yeah. And that people like are so kind and so caring and so generous and so giving.
So giving.
And I was super blown away by everybody that we got to meet.
Yeah. It was super real, like, and it flashed all before our eyes as it was happening. And I think even when we came home and processed it, that was one of the things that I wanted to make sure I kept really present with me at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, let's just call it spade a spade. Lately, I've been dealing with some stuff on social media that I think is new for me, in the sense that I never really had to deal with a lot of that before, or there's been bits and pieces, but, and you know, I'm never going to go into details or specifics. We're not here to name and shame. We're not here to even talk about drama like that. If you want to go to drama, search YouTube for the beauty community drama that's going on at the moment, because it is wild, and I'm definitely following it. But for myself, I do approach some things with this sense of, like, disconnect, because I think, oh, just protect yourself from some of this stuff.
Right.
So I have been, you know, if I'm truly honest, I have been kind of believing, well, I haven't really been validating how truly real a lot of this is, because I myself look at the computer screen and think, oh, this isn't super real. But I know that it is, and I've known that for a long time. I think only recently have I started to find a bit of a push and pull, a bit more stronger than I ever have felt it before.
Right.
So it was a really great and very timely thing to have those workshops happen, because it kind of nipped it straight in the bud as soon as it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to think, oh, no, you're wrong, James. Like, it is fully real. All of it's real, and all of it's something that you're able to process, and you can process it within your community. There's no reason why you can't.
Well, it's like you go to Paris, for instance. We've all seen pictures of the Eiffel Tower. We've all seen the Arc de Triomphe. We've all seen, like, the Sacré-Cœur and Montmartre and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, wow, it's so beautiful. Paris is so great, you know? But until you actually, like, once you visit it, you're like, oh, like, I knew it was there, but I didn't really know it was there.
Yeah, it's suddenly real.
Yeah.
And the experience you have is shaped in more of a reality than a postcard that you've seen a picture of, or a documentary you watched a story about. And you can be fully invested in all that stuff, and that's super real, too.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I just wanted to take away from that was that it is all still super real, and to safeguard that. Because you don't want to, you know, essentially, if I completely disconnect, then what happens? I mean, that's kind of a scary thought, right?
Yeah, because you don't want to disconnect.
No, and I've seen people struggle to stay connected, and I haven't never identified this as a problem that I might have. But honestly, I don't think most of us are waiting for the problems to happen. They just kind of come up, and it's what you do in dealing with them that kind of shapes the future for you.
Right.
So I just wanted to... it's just so heavy already, but it was definitely not meant to go there. But I do just want to... I want to talk about that just for a second, just because, you know, that's something real that I'm going through at this point. And, you know, I have to remember that this is all real. Things that I say have an impact or have an effect. I could either bring a lot of joy to people's lives today, or I could really disturb some people, or I could just play neutral, but whatever I do, I want to do it, you know, fully in it.
Yeah.
Not thinking, oh, I'm behind a computer screen, that's fine.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If I feel like it doesn't matter, then it truly won't matter.
Well, I think if you approach it like that, you're approaching it from more of a self perspective.
Yeah, and that's just not my mission.
No, that's not what we're about.
It's not my mission statement.
No, anyway. But anyway, I loved the workshops, and it was so great to meet everybody.
Yeah, and what we're actually here to do is something so much more lighthearted that I would encourage you to go and grab a journal or grab a coffee or whatever time of night it is, a beer, a wine, whatever you want to do. We're going to chit-chat like we used to do on voiceovers when we would ask each other random questions.
Okay.
You know, we have the lists, like 101 fun questions to ask a date something like that. So I've got one here. Okay. These ones I think are for, it's fastcompany.com. Oh, who even knows? It says 36 interview questions that are actually fun to answer. So that's where we're going to go
today. Oh, great. Okay, let me put on my suit and tie.
Yeah, but I think just answer them as a human, like just as you.
Okay.
As an employee, I don't know. Pretend like you work for me.
I do.
Pretend like you get paid.
All right.
Okay, so we're just going to go through and answer these. If you want to answer any of these questions and leave your answer in the description box below. Not the description, but on YouTube. It's a podcast. Okay. Patreon. If you want to leave your answer in the Patreon comments, I'm sure we'd love to have a good read of those. Totally. This is always very telling about people.
Right.
Reveals a lot. Uh-huh.
It's like the would you rather.
Yeah, like not only the question that you choose to answer reveals a lot about you, but then the answer comes and I'm completely blown away.
Yeah.
but first, the first one I actually don't think is that fun, but let's say do it anyway. Are you more of a hunter or gatherer? I don't even know in what sense that is, really.
Well, I think it
literally?
No. You know where it comes from, like originally, like native communities.
Yeah. People had roles. They either went out and hunted
or they
gathered.
What's the difference? You're still going to get something.
Aren't we still getting something?
That's what it is, though. You're either getting something closer or farther away.
Okay, let's be real literal then, because I am black and white. We all know this. I am not a hunter, because I can't even shoot a cap gun. So you know I'm not going to be able to bring anything back.
Is a hunter more somebody who has maybe more of an adventurous spirit?
No, let's go literal. We're out in the desert. We're in a tent. We need to eat. Am I getting the berries, or are you getting the berries?
I guess you're getting the berries, and I'm going to get the...
The wildebeest.
Yeah, but what if we were vegetarian, so you'd have to just... We both have to go get the berries.
Well, you'd have to hunt down some very adventurous leaves.
Yeah.
From, like, the highest tree.
Where does whey protein come from? You can get, like, vegan protein, which comes from cheese.
I'm not going anywhere where you're going to try and make some soy coconut milk from the almond leaf extract of a bean.
Perfect.
I'm not doing that.
Either way, you're the gatherer and I'm the hunter?
I'm gatherer. Are you seeing it from more the stereotypical male-female perspective?
No.
Male hunter, female gatherer?
No.
Because that's what I remember learning about these roles. But I wouldn't even be ashamed to say gatherer, even if it were the stereotypically female choice, because That is just my truth.
Yeah, but I don't think that really applies in today's day and age.
Well, I'm going very literal and in whatever the sense this question's being asked. This is a horrible... If my employer tried to ask me this question, I would not be interested. No one's getting the job.
No, they're not getting me and I'm not getting the job.
No, I would suddenly question why I was at that interview. All right, two. This one's a good one. You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Ooh.
I just want to guess that you're going to go so obvious and say yellow and a lemon. Like you're yellow and you're the lemon crayon.
No.
Are you got something different?
Cerulean.
I think it was Oscar de la Renta. No, collection of cerulean gowns.
So we need a belt here.
Club the reference. Okay.
From a pile of...
I want to be the most ultra crayon you've ever used.
What would be just all the colors put into one that, like, you just, as you colored it, was like a rainbow color that kind of came out?
No, I don't want to be that much. I want to be something, like, way too expensive to manufacture. Like, I want Crayola to say no to everyone that pitches it. I want it to be a shift. I want it to be a red-purple shift. So, like, you draw it down, it's almost metallic. You know when you look at those cars and they look red and then they drive by and they're actually purple as well? Yeah. So I want it to be a shift crayon. I also want to have glitter in it.
Okay.
And I think I like that metallic idea too.
It's funny that you say metallic because remember like when you'd get the 64 crayon box and you had like the gold, silver, bronze and how those crayons...
If you say and what on, I think you're going to say...
And they were just like, they were like a different consistency than the rest of the crayons because I think of the whatever the metallic is in them.
Probably, yeah.
I just want to be all of that always.
I thought you were going to tell me, every time we go past the crayons at Target, he does not miss an opportunity to say, oh, I loved the sharpener in the box of the crayons.
I did.
Every single time.
And you know, the crazy thing is that I look to see if they still make the box with the sharpener because there's a part of me that believes that eventually they're just going to phase that out.
I thought they would have phased out crayons altogether, to be honest. I didn't know because I was never a big crayon kid.
I loved crayons.
And if I got crayons, I certainly did not get Crayola.
But here's the deal. What I didn't like is like when you go to Sunday school and they're like, here's all the crayons.
They're all broken.
I can't.
I hated when kids broken? Would peel the wrapper off
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't like that because sometimes is it black or is it purple?
Yeah.
You don't know.
You never know.
And so I'm going to color in some black hair and it's purple, which now probably wouldn't be so bad. But back then, Superman didn't have purple hair.
Well, did I even get to the name of my crayon? I wanted to call my crayon Confusion.
I was going to say Most Plus.
The Ultra Most Plus. But that's what I'm going for. Actually, I'd be really interested to see what a lot of people would choose for that one. Okay, we finished the interview.
Wait, what color would I be or what would I call
it? Oh, did you not answer?
No, I did, but it doesn't say there's a name for it.
Oh, what color would you be and why? Oh, okay, well then just red purple. But I think Confusion's a good name for that. Because it would be so random to open up your box of crayons and see one that was... red purple shift with metallic and glitter.
I would just want something to be called like zhuzh.
Please spell.
How do you spell that? Zhuzh. Z-J-U-Z-J.
See, why do I want to put an zhuzh. H after the Z? I want Z-H-U-S-J-H.
Wait, Z-H-U-J-H?
Is that what I said? Who knows? Is it even a word? Can you spell
zhuzh.
It? Like, you can spell it?
I don't know.
I wouldn't even know how to type it in. Zhuzh. I wouldn't know what to Google. Alexa.
Spell zhuzh.
Spell zhuzh. We don't have an Alexa.
We don't.
I'm not about that technology life.
Zhuzh.
I'm a little paranoid. Do you know this?
It's like a ZJ.
It's something like that.
Zhuzh.
Do you know I'm a little paranoid about computers and artificial intelligence?
It's the way of the future, though.
Well, you know, because I saw that stupid movie. I think it was called... I want to say Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking it was called Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
When I saw that, I thought, well, that's obviously happening. But ever since Google started trolling your inputs for things and started tailoring
the Facebook ads.
Yeah. That made me so uncomfortable.
I don't like that because it's like, I just looked at one swimsuit. Why am I getting all of the ads for swimsuit and underwear and everything else that comes with
it? Yeah, like you can never be in public again. And sometimes like you just want to search some random little question that someone asks you and you think, actually, you know what? I'm not going to risk that for my ads.
Right, exactly. Like, I can't do that. I think about that, truly. Like I'm not going
to
look that up.
Yeah, it's just super invasive. Google needs to stop.
Facebook maybe needs to stop that part of it.
Have you ever bought anything from those ads?
Maybe.
You've clicked on them.
I definitely clicked. I think I probably got those American flag overalls from one of those things. From Chubby's.
Yeah. I could believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think I bought anything from those. Unless it was like Amazon and it was envelopes and I thought, oh, I'm running out. You know, all the good stuff.
What a boring waste of money.
I'm about to come into a $100 Amazon gift card honestly don't know what to spend it on. And Stella and I were having a chat about it. And I thought, I've got to get something that you would never really just go out and buy yourself. Because it's
okay, well, what would that be?
Well, then I couldn't figure anything out. So I said, I'm going to get an extra camera battery and an SD card.
Well, that's kind of what it is. It's like boring. It's like Christmas, you know? Like, what's her name? Chocantel Brown? Laura Bell Bundy?
Mm.
When she does the Christmas, that whole thing. And she's like, if people, like, they get me some toilet paper, some paper towel rolls, yeah, and a plunger.
Get me what I need.
And some foil. Because that's the stuff that runs out.
Yeah, that is true.
That's what I want.
I feel like my mom did that for my birthdays.
I feel like she did. Yeah, lot. She probably definitely... Yeah.
One of my last birthdays at home, she actually just wrapped up the groceries for that week and let me unwrap them.
For everybody. It's
probably also a way for me to
You're so generous.
To put the groceries away.
Yeah, it's so generous of you.
But I hijacked them all. They were my groceries and no one was eating that week, so... what do you think about when you're alone in a car? Do we want to know?
I mean, it depends. Sometimes I just kind of let my mind wander creatively and I kind of figure out, I
think, like, about projects.
Yeah, I conceptualize projects and kind of cast who I would want to use in them.
Oh yeah, you do that a lot.
Yeah, I definitely do that.
That's not car specific, by the way. That's Steve at any point of the day.
Yeah. Or I pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing that I do I don't even think, it's not really thinking about, but sometimes when I'm trying to practice an accent.
Don't say this! That's mine!
No, I totally do it.
That's mine, and it's mine is car specific. I don't know where you practice yours.
I only do it in the car when I'm driving and I look at the signs.
Steve, you are joking.
That's exactly what I do.
See, this question is alone in the car. I would never do that with Steve in the car. I don't even think I've told you I do this.
No, I don't think, I've told you.
I do full movie reenactments with the accents, but not only that, sometimes I try to just say something I would say in normal life with a different accent and see if I can pull it off.
No, I literally, like, will read the signs and I will, you know,
like, that's so funny. Like, that's exactly what I do.
Like, no turn on left.
I'm not going into mine are awful.
Like, no turn on right. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's what I do.
Does anyone else do that? Is that normal?
I don't know. I will also sing. Oh, you know what? I will perform a full Broadway musical in the car on a long road trip, especially when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have done the entirety of Ragtime, of Wicked, of Rent.
Just partial to a bit of Andy Weber.
Yeah. Evita, Bridges of Madison County. I've done all of those.
No, mine is specifically the one thing I was going to say. I thought it'd be so fun and interesting and you just stole it. But I do. I practice my life in different accents or I just run through movie quotes and think, could I be an actor? Maybe. Also, I don't tape myself and I'm sure if I heard them back, I'd think, oh, that's awful.
Well, at least confidence is key, right?
Yeah, but you know, I practice just for nothing and... it's not for nothing.
No, because... you've definitely used them in auditions.
Oh my goodness, no, I have not.
I definitely heard your American accent with the pirates thing.
Oh yeah, the pirates was good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I got a good pirate. That's the one I never practiced in the car, though. That's just a natural thing I have. Mm. I will say that in all of this, like all the movies we used to make in high school, my best friend and I, all of the dumb little projects I would do with my sister, all of this, even like practicing random just speeches on the fly about nothing and everything, I believe... all of those are the tools that I now call on when I'm making video content, doing voiceovers, editing the movies together.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that I've actually been building this skill set subconsciously because I'm a crazy person, that it would all come into play.
Well, I don't think anything is ever done in vain. Like, one of these days, I'm going to draw a really incredible aerial. Because it's the only thing I know how to draw.
Because you've been practicing for years.
Yeah, since I was, like, 8.
You already can draw a really good aerial, better than most people's
aerials.
Yeah,
but my proportions are off.
Practice is key, Steve.
You know, I mean, what else do I do? I practice my lines. So, like, right now, I'm practicing Coco lines.
You just do a lot in the car, don't you? We finish the interview, and you step outside the office and find a lottery ticket that ends up winning $10 million. What would you do?
$10 million?
$10 million bucks.
First of all, I would tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I'd pay off my debt.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would...
Well, then you're finished.
you imagine?
All the money's gone.
If he had, like, that many
like millions. Like, $9 million worth of debt?
No. And then, you know, I feel like the real honest humanitarian thing to do would be, like, I'd donate it to a nonprofit or I'd give it away. Yeah. Which I'm sure, like, I would do that, but I would definitely, like, put some way for savings, and I would probably pay my parents' debt off. And if, you know, if I had other family members who had some debt, I would just, like, clear that off for them.
From what I have heard, when people come into lots of money quickly, you don't even really get to offer it to the extended family. They come to you and ask for it.
Oh, well, that's kind of shady.
I've heard this in stories before.
Well, also, you definitely get taxed a whole bunch of it, right? So you get taxed a ton of it.
Yeah, I think you do, actually.
But I don't know.
This is not the point of this question, I don't think.
And I would probably, like, maybe try to...
Just go one random crazy thing you'd do. One super self-indulgent thing you'd do with the 10 mil.
Travel the world.
Because let's just assume we'd all do something humanitarian, we'd all have to pay the tax, we'd all tithe, we'd all do something...
Pay the debt.
We'd all do the really good stuff, we'd do the debt. What are you doing with the rest that is so, like...
I would buy every single bit of camera equipment that I ever wanted, just because.
Okay.
Because I could. Just to have it. I would also probably buy another car.
That's the truth. Just to have it. Notice how Steve said just to have it. Not to use it or play with it or see what it's like.
I mean,
like.
I would play with just it. Just to have it. But I would just get, like, the most extra thing. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's get that flash. Who knows if I'll use it or not.
Just get it.
You are wasteful. Okay, I'm not dishonest. And then I would probably, I don't know, I'd travel the world. Like, literally, like, go to a bunch of different places and just take, like, years off of my life and just go live the high life. I don't know, I'd buy a yacht. I'd buy a yacht so we could sail the Mediterranean.
To be fair, I don't know if the rest of the money would get you a yacht, but maybe a really little thing. Yachts are very lots of money.
$10 million, James.
I still think they might be more than that. I don't know, I haven't priced them recently.
But $10 million? Yachts are not millions
of
dollars.
Okay, well, at the very worst, you're going on a really luxurious yacht around the Mediterranean.
Yeah, but that's my yacht.
That apparently you need to own.
Why not? I don't know. I'd probably, like, also start, like, something like Pete's Bite. I would create something.
I love that.
I would definitely invest in a bunch of random, like, projects. And
see, that was my dumb answer. All I was going to say was I was going to invest and then use the revenue streams to do all the stuff I ever wanted to do. But that's such a boring answer. So let's just say $10 million. I had this, like, random thought the other day that you kind of sparked up that I remember having ages ago. Huh. I just think one day it would be really great if I kept this business and it was growing and I had a nice big house. I could have a big, big, like, barn that was also an art studio that had a workshop and a creative space.
Right in the back.
But I set everything up in there so that it was literally a free-for-all for creativity. So, like, you could go over to one side, there's, like, a little pottery thing and you can make ceramics and, you know, there's a kiln out the back. And then you can go to a kiln where they fire all the ceramics.
Oh, okay.
And then you can go over here and you can do, like, wood chop and... Basically, like, a design and technology lab at school.
Yeah.
But I put one of those in my backyard in my art barn.
Hmm.
I just think that would be so much fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you would have... You'd have access to all of it, and why not? It's just...
Because then I could try anything and everything. I really... I'm not joking. I still want to go and try some ceramics painting, and I want to do some pottery. I just have a weird urge to do it.
So do it.
I have some air dry clay in the cupboard. I might just try a little thing first.
No, I remember when...
tiny teacup.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, we had vacation Bible school, like, during the summer.
Scripture Union Family Mission.
No. But it was called... The theme of this vacation Bible school was called Marketplace 29 AD. And so essentially it was as if they, like, they take you back to Bible times, but 29 AD, so 29 years after... Mm-hmm. So kind of like after Christ was born. So, I mean, Christ is still around technically, I guess, right?
In AD?
Anno Domini, year after, like, it's like the year of our Lord.
Oh.
I think that's what it means.
I thought it... Why BC did I is think before it was Christ. After death?
I don't... So, like... So, does BC...
I'm just not accounting for the time that Christ was...
I'm super wrong with this.
Let's just not go there, then.
But BC and then AD, like, 1 AD
is, like...
So,
what did you do at Marketplace 20... Refinery 29?
Marketplace 29 AD. So, it's, like, Bible times. So, they had, like, the market area, like, in the center of, like, kind of the parking lot or, like, the pit. Mm-hmm. And so there's all different places where you could, like, do, like, woodwork and you could do, like, textiles. And then they had a little, like, pottery thing. And I remember sitting there with my friend Christy And she was, like, so into it. And she made this, like, yuck bowl. That was just, like, this little, like, mound of clay. It looked really smooth, but she had just stuck one finger inside of it. And I was, like, and she was so proud of it. She put it in the thing to, like, dry. And I was, like,
good for her.
I was, like, good for you, Christy. She's, like, it's so good.
Steve, stop. You know what you're describing?
And then I was so jealous. I was so jealous because then I tried it and mine looked like garbage.
You know what you're describing? My mom... every year goes to Road to Bethlehem.
So it's the same type
of
idea.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
They do this thing at the high school, and it's a, I think it's at Erina High School on the Central Coast, and they basically turn the whole high school into the Road to Bethlehem, and they tell the story of, you know, Jesus' birth at Christmas, and it's at Christmas time, and you go in, you pay a little gold coin donation, you can go and do little woodwork with balsa wood.
Yeah.
My mom and I don't follow the rules. We come out with nothing that works and nothing that looks like it's supposed to.
Right.
They have these little stations where you can use the clay and make Christmas decorations with the cookie cutters.
Yeah.
Mum freestyles it. So if she's freestyling it, I'm freestyling it. I started with the angel base, but then I like went extra with the wings.
Right,
and
of course.
They've got glitter everywhere, so we're throwing glitter at everything. You just go and have a fantastic time in Bethlehem.
I didn't know they had glitter in Bible times.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
It's one of the original craft supplies.
Yeah.
It's where you always find it everywhere.
Right, because it's literally been around for thousands of years.
But yeah, so that's what you're describing to me. And I love that.
Okay, last question. If you don't get this job, what's your backup plan?
What job?
This job. Fastcompany.com's 36 interviews to get this job questions.
Do you think, though, that sometimes interviewers at these big corporations or these big jobs... they ask you these questions because they want to hear you say something like, this is, I don't have anything. I don't have a backup job.
Yeah. That's something I struggle with, whether you give the answer that you think they want to hear or you give your truth. Because most of the time, your truth in these answers, no one's like born to work a certain position. No one is born with the skill set that you're supposed to have.
Sometimes you just need a job.
Yeah, and it's okay to have that. Why isn't it okay just to say, I'm not born for this, I wasn't made for this, I just really need this job right now.
Or I don't have a backup plan.
And because I need it so much, you know I'm going to do a good job because I need the paycheck.
Yeah, so just please give it to me.
Yeah, no, I don't, I think...
But you know that there are those businesses out there that sit there and they think, maybe that's just too honest.
Yeah, like, he's going to be a problem because he's too honest. Or, that's not what we wanted to hear.
We wanted to hear that you had
no other options but to be here. Because that's not true, Linda.
Sorry, Linda.
Sorry, Linda, but I will have other options. My life will work out without me getting this job here.
I don't know. What would I do as a backup?
So just say you lost your career as you know it right now. You can't sing. You can't act. You can't dance. I've been told that before. What?
Can I take pictures still or no?
Yeah, because it's not your career.
I feel like that's just a given.
Well, mine was a given. I have faced this question 3 years ago, almost to the day.
Well, I suppose you would go back, you would fall back on the other passions that you have.
That's the hope, but some people don't have backup passions.
I'd say move.
Move where?
I don't know. I would move to Venice and just work at a cafe and live my full Dolce Vita fantasy.
Really? That's definitely your backup plan?
Sure. Life's short.
That's your plan B.
Maybe it's my plan C.
Like,
or
there's
D
nothing
or E.
between that?
No, I would probably.
You're one step away from that?
I would probably build up my photo stuff, is probably where I would put all my energies and attention to.
Because I think
make
that
more of a full time deal. And that makes sense.
I think the question here, the interesting question is if all your time were to free up all of a sudden and you had to put energy towards building something for yourself, what would you build?
I would take tons of pictures and I would just create. Build stories.
And hope that it would translate to something, to a job, a position.
Yeah.
Because this is what I did. After I lost dance, and I knew it wasn't forever, but there was a period where I had to put my energies and focus towards something, I focused on not so much a backup plan, but what I knew I could build on. And I had a foundation of a lifetime of creating things, of anything and everything I could get my hands on and just learn how to, you know, be crafty and do art and draw and whatever I did. And I hoped that if that needed to turn into something, it would. Now, it didn't just evolve by itself. You have to do a lot of work. But it generally does take kind of a shape, and then you do get to kind of direct it a little bit, and then ultimately I let God work out his plan for it all.
Yeah.
But I guess that is something that I put all of my focus and energy towards when I was ready to do so, because I was still half foot in the door with dance. And that
well,
was...
I feel as if though your hope is always to never lose that primary option, right?
Yeah, because it was my primary goal. It was my first career choice. It was number one at those stupid career orientation days that they have at school. What do you want to do? What's your dream? My dream at 16 was to go and work at Tokyo Disneyland and dance. That's what I wanted to do.
And you did it.
And I did it, and I felt great. I wanted to keep doing it. I did it in different iterations, and I had a lovely dream career.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do something if that stops. So, backup plan. I think a lot of people do actually have a whole other plan in place. I think us as entertainers,
For me, I suppose I would just go into teaching if I needed to.
So you're certified to be a teacher.
Yeah, I could.
You can go and teach musical theater programs and everything, curriculum.
Yeah, or be a director someplace.
Yeah, that's crazy. You have backup plan options that are real careers.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily, I don't know if I necessarily want to do them.
Yeah, but do you know what I had? Do you know what experience I had? Lawn mowing. Or like...
honest living.
Gardening. Yeah, I know, but that's... when I was always so scared because people would say to me, well, what if it all ended tomorrow? What's your backup plan? I feel like I'm just so triggered by this question.
Well, you can make a way.
I think
people always will find a way to make a way.
Yeah. And I'm so calculated in my risk taking. Honestly, it's a shock that I didn't have a backup. What risk taking? Exactly. I'm kind of shocked that I never had a serious backup plan. I used to think dance would be my first job, and my backup plan was to go and be a fashion designer.
Well, see, there you go. You could do that.
Yeah, but I wasn't actually prepared with anything. It was just a thought that I knew that if it all failed, something else would work out. It would have to.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was talking about imposter syndrome today at lunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with our music director for one of our shows, and, you know, he was sitting in there in a music rehearsal, and he said, man, sometimes I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing. And I thought that was so funny, because this is a music director for the Disneyland Resort, not even for the Disneyland Resort, but for the Walt Disney Company. And he arranges and creates all sorts of different music for the shows that happen throughout the different theme parks, like all over the world.
And he just had a moment where he thought, what am I doing?
I don't know how to lead this band rehearsal. With these, you know, with these instrumentalists. I walked in with so many different scores of music just kind of flying everywhere, and I had a moment where I thought, I don't even know how to do this. Which is so interesting.
I wonder what his backup plan is.
I don't think he ever had one. I think he always was just going to do music. Because he used to be a part of like a vocal a cappella group back in the day, and got a job at Disney singing a cappella, and just kind of evolved into all of that. Which is great.
Do you think people do their backup plan as their first choice? Probably, right? There are people...
Well, I mean, growing up for me, what my parents desired for me was definitely not to be an actor.
I don't think many people see security in that.
So they definitely wanted me to pursue a career as a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. But I said no. So maybe to them, my career is a backup plan, but to me, this is my number one.
No, I mean, you as a person choosing it, do you think anyone ever got too scared to go with their first choice and chose the backup?
Well, you only have probably one life.
Probably, right?
Maybe. Or not even too scared, just not inspired. You only have one life, right?
Maybe you don't even know where to start. I don't know, I think...
For me, it was either teaching or performing.
Looking back on it, you know when you get kind of... you're not as brave as you were when you were younger.
Right.
I think the older I get, I think, how delusional was I just to think, this is all going to work out? And it would. And it did.
Right, and then you have so much confidence, but then you turn around and become an adult, and you think...
Yeah.
I've got mad imposter syndrome. How did I get here?
Yeah, now I second guess myself at the most ridiculous thing that if you had told me...
It's so crazy,
if you had told me when I was 17, oh, your job tomorrow is to make some YouTube videos teaching people how to have fun in a journal.
I mean, well, back then, 10 years ago, nobody knew that you could would be able to have...
Right, it wasn't even
sustainable living.
But if you had told me, well, that's going to be your job, I would think, oh, yeah, easy. Where's the work? And now I would
when
sit
you don't
here.
Know, right?
Yeah, now I sit here. I'd plan it out. I'd make sure I'm doing the right thing. I might even scrap the video. I'll do the voiceover 4 times. Like, who knows? But it's so funny that we have that opportunity. I think we all get to the end of school, our schooling education, and we get to choose our career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, not everyone does. I think some people are, you know, coerced into it. I think some people are pushed into it. I think some people feel that they don't have a choice in
right.
the matter.
Or you fall into, you know, if you go major, get a degree at a university, and maybe it's, for me, for instance, I love my sociology degree. I'm super proud of myself for getting that degree. But I almost got that degree as a consolation prize because what I wanted to do was sing and act.
Right. So that was a backup.
So do you just jump into whatever your degree is that follows that occupation?
Yeah, that's what I thought we were supposed to do.
Well, I think that's what everybody
thinks
you're
supposed to do.
That's
what my mom said, but I don't know if she even knew. So, you know what? I guess I'll know now to never take for granted that I was delusional enough just to chase it from the beginning.
Maybe a little bit of delusion is helpful, or is healthy.
Probably.
Healthy delusion.
I guess, I mean, how delusional must I have been to think that, like, I didn't even really need to care about a backup plan? That I just knew
maybe
my first
confidence,
one would work.
Or maybe that's just, but sometimes, you know, you have that confidence and that's what sells it. And you end up doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm very thankful that that worked because, I mean, I guess I had that moment later in life, like, you know, 3 years ago. Oh, what's my backup plan? But even then, I didn't feel like I had to search for one. I knew I had energy to put towards art, and it was probably the doctor's fault.
Yeah.
For saying, you know, you can't use your feet, use your hands.
Yeah.
Maybe it was his fault.
Well, thank God.
I don't know. Maybe we can leave you with that pearl of wisdom. Don't stress too much about a backup plan. You'll get it.
Yeah.
You can, and you know what? You don't want to spend your whole life worrying about if it's going to fail.
Right. And also, people are passionate about multiple things.
Yeah.
You don't really have to only be passionate about one thing.
I want to know what people's secondary passions are now, because I feel like I know a lot about my friends' primary passions.
Yeah.
I want to know about the other ones that they might have been completely different people.
So for you, what would be a secondary passion now?
Fashion
now? Design? Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I still have a strange fascination with law.
Watch out. I'll put you all in prison.
JLB prosecution. Could you imagine?
Yeah, we'd all be behind bars, folks.
No one would be. I think there's an analytical part of my brain that would really enjoy
being
stimulated.
Justice? Do you want justice?
Yeah, of course. Love justice. Believe in justice. Fight for justice.
Okay.
I couldn't do anything crazy, though, because Stella and I have been talking about these, that My Favorite Murder podcast, and we've been talking about all the other crazy stories that you see on, you know, Netflix documentaries and all that stuff. I can't bring myself to actually even get involved in those kinds of stories.
It becomes overwhelming.
I can't even imagine how emotional that must be to deal with.
Yeah.
That's just not my life, not my truth, not my story. But I do enjoy business law because it is logical, it makes sense, and it is black and white. You either did it, but you didn't. Here's the proof. Here's the consequence.
So I didn't know if you guys catch that, but, you know, James is full of gray.
I think I would just put on Instagram before that. It's so funny, in my real life, I am black and white, logical, 100% sense.
That's what he says, but he's 100% also, like, fueled by heavy emotion.
In my creativity.
And in your personal life. Yes, definitely in your creativity.
I think in the way that I see the world, it will always be very black and white.
Maybe.
But in the way that I approach my art...
And the way that you react to the black and white life, though?
Yeah, strong emotions. I'm very convicted by the black and white. But in the creativity...
But if you only have black and white, you don't have gray or other colors.
I hate gray.
I know, gray suits.
Even gray is gray. Cool gray, warm gray, neutral gray, 10%
gray,
French gray. Like, why can't even gray just be gray?
Because there's a variety to the gray.
Goodness.
So more varieties.
This is a podcast topic we'll never get into. My point was that in creativity, I feel a lot more free and reckless and a lot more nonsensical.
Well, maybe that's just your balance.
And that's what I feel like. It brings me a lot of balance. And that's why I feel if one is kind of too heavy for the other, if I'm getting way too analytical and way too heavy black and white, way too, you know, trying to process everything through that film, I tend to fall apart. But in the other respect, if I don't bring any reality into my life, if I don't give my sense of self of grounding, and if I'm all just feelings and emotions, I'm very, you know, if I'm all wrapped up in my creativity and I forget about my real life, I fall apart there too. So I think creativity really helps me strike a balance between it, because it's a very physical thing, a manual thing I can do to balance myself.
That's good that you know that.
Yeah, just kind of thinking about it. Anyway, that kind of wraps up our podcast. We just did a full, like, roller coaster journey where we started really heavy, got really light, and then got analytical again at the end.
You know, and I'm looking at this, one of these questions here that we didn't answer, we probably don't have time for, but how many square feet of pizza is eaten in the US each year? And I don't really care about the answer. All I care about is pizza. And all I see is pizza. And all I want right now is pizza.
I can just say that 600 square feet of pizza is eaten by Steve a year.
Oh my goodness, I love pizza. Pizza, ice cream, and brownies.
What's your favorite pizza toppings?
I don't know. I don't have a specific. I like, you know, meat lovers or like something that has all sorts of,
like, a capsicum vegetables in there, and
capsicum, peppers.
Yeah.
But I also really love Hawaiian.
I love Hawaiian. People are going to hate that. They hate when people put pineapple on pizza.
I think it's so great.
I love it.
But I also like the flip side where it's olives and peppers and mushrooms and
meats. Yeah, supreme.
Yeah.
Well, I don't... The thing about the Hawaiian one, I get really weirded out when people call it... I don't know if people do, but I've seen it called sweet pig pizza before. Well, that's before.
At...
Was that Japan?
No, that's at the restaurant. The BJ's restaurant and brewery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they call it... Their name for it is sweet pig.
Yeah. Which that is just kind of grosses me out.
Well, it's what it is.
Oh, you know what it was in Japan? Tropical pig pizza.
Oh, no. All I see is the pig with, like...
Stop, yuck.
With
what's
the
your favorite brownie? Just chocolate?
Like chocolate fudge. And what's chocolate peanut butter.
Okay, I said one. I didn't, but
what I really enjoy is a warm chocolate brownie that has a little bit of gooey in it.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of undercooked a little bit.
Yeah, or one that comes with, like, a fudge mixed in there.
And what's your favorite ice cream flavor? I don't really like brownies. I don't really like cake.
Ice cream? I can't answer
mint
that.
Chocolate chip?
No, I like mint chip, but I also love cookies and cream. I love cookie dough.
Oh, yeah.
But I would maybe say that it's probably one of those three. Oh, and add a chocolate and a peanut butter type mix in there, too. I think it's probably one of those four. But classic?
It's so funny, because knowing what you eat on a daily basis and this health journey that you're always on...
Yeah, to think that you're... on, and I don't feel like I'm...
But to think that at any point of the day that he's just fantasizing about these terrible foods...
Honestly,
it must be such a battle.
I always lose it, too. If it's in front of me, I will always eat it. Because life is short, right?
At least you know that.
Yeah, before I'd be like, oh, no, I don't... Yeah, you know, I just kind of... I let it pass by. When secretly I'm eating the entire tray.
Me every day. Okay, we will just wrap it up there, but I'm glad that we had that pizza chat. If you want to answer any of the questions, pop them down below. We'd love to have a look.
Yeah.
And until next time, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.